Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The line between killer and hero is thinner than you think. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
It's a situation you don't hear of all that often, unless it's maybe in a movie or something, which is a rare thing to say these days. But it happened. Kentucky Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins has been charged with the murder of his longtime friend, District Judge Kevin Mullins. The two went out for lunch that day, as they often do, talking about different things. It's a small community. The sheriff and the judge are kind of like this. They're tight. And something happened. Something took place that made that sheriff pull his service revolver out and shoot the judge multiple times over in his chamber on camera. What exactly took place? What caused this massive deviation in behavior? That's the question we're asking. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. We talk about behavior arcs all the time on this program, and this does not seem to be a common thing for Kentucky Sheriff Sean Mickey to just go and randomly shoot at people. What's your take on this situation and where we're at?
I hit the whole thing right there. When you have a massive deviation from an observed behavior, there's information that was learned that caused that massive change of behavior. But I will throw in there that that's an interesting problem-solving solution the sheriff came up with, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so here I am. I've learned things about life and people in my life. Now, granted, the extent of which he probably learned about, again, there's conjecture going around involving his daughter and everything else that would trigger someone. I haven't had an incident in my life where I've learned a bit of information that would trigger a response of violence to death. Not saying anything. It's just I found his solution for solving that problem and dealing with it really. I was curious about how much of a deviation was that for him, because had he thought about that before? Has he dealt with that before? I mean, has he ever pulled a firearm on someone before? I mean, that was a massive deviation. So I think as this unfolds, there's going to be other data points that say there's some trouble afoot. I doubt if this was the first time that there's been some challenging things in the sheriff's life that he had a struggle with making coming to a rational decision about how to solve that problem.
It would take a lot. I mean, I'm not there. There's things I think almost all of us, you know, I think at some point, if you were met with that sort of information, you may be tempted to do the same thing. I guess it comes down to self-control if one were to actually go to the lengths that he did. But there's only certain pieces of information that I think would make most of us rational, healthy individuals go that far, and would probably involve our kids. And what we do know, and it's all we do know, is that he likely found his daughter's phone number on the judge's phone, tried calling his daughter from the judge's phone, as well as his own right before this this all went down. Now, that's where the speculation runs wild. Where are we going with this? Why was the number on the judge's phone? You know, was there a reason? Is there a logical reason why it might be? Now, was he a coach of something? Was there a, you know, I don't know. I mean, there could be logical reasons for this that are not nefarious. But most of them seem kind of nefarious. If you have an adult with a child's phone, of the opposite sex, phone number on your phone. I'm assuming there was more than just the phone number that was on that phone that caused that sort of, at least I hope to, not hoping in like in a way, like I hope nothing was going on, but to just find the phone number and pull out a weapon and shoot him, I think would be a bit extreme. That's why I'm guessing there's probably a bit more to the story.
Still made a choice to take a life.
Yeah.
And so it'll, to me, it'll just be interesting how much time he gets in jail.
Yeah.
And he did it. I mean, there's no denying it. And the motivations behind it.
Heat of passion. Heat of passion is what the defense is arguing.
Yeah. And I get that. But still, he still made a choice.
He did.
You know, to take a life. You know, the recent books I've noted with you before, you know, on the other shows, you know, Gavin DeBecker's, you know, Gift of Fear, as well as Obsession by John Douglas, mm-hmm. you know, both of them iterate. In any of these cases that deal with someone committing murder, people can justify it as much as they want, but they still made a choice to take a human being's life outside of the criminal justice system, outside of everything. They made a choice to take a life.
Yeah.
And this is no debating this one. He took a life.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, it's not that he's denying it.
So yeah.
And while come down it, to it, how it can defend it.
Yeah, exactly. And in our criminal justice system, in our society, is that acceptable? No. It's not.
Right.
In terms of a human being trying to basically protect your child from, I don't know, was he a predator? We don't know the answer to that. Right. You know, if he was, then it makes a little more sense as to why someone may react that way. Not saying it's good, not saying you should do that, but I think it's almost a natural human instinct to try and protect your child if you realize something like that could be going on. Again, just conjecture, nothing has been charged in the way of that right now. But there's so
many
questions.
And you hit it right there. I think no matter what spurred it, he acted on instinct. From what we see, from what we're seeing, especially since they're going to claim crime of passion, you know, for defense. Yeah, that was crime of passion. It's an instinctual reaction he had. I'm sorry that he happened to be holding a firearm when he had the instinct, because it's going to cost him a lot more as well as, you know, the judge, you know, for, because again, we don't know anything, but now someone else is deprived of another life.
Yeah.
Because now remember this, as I think it's important to remember in all these cases, the victim is gone, but the other victims are the peoples in that judge's life. You know, there might have been people that loved and cared for him very deeply that are now deprived of him because of the sheriff's choice of instinct, you know, to take a life.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, and that's something that should be thought about on the sheriff's part. Clearly, he did not. Of you do this, you're taking yourself out of your daughter's life as well. And if that's ultimately your goal is to be there, there's other ways of dealing with this where you can remain in your daughter's life because she probably needs you and not behind bars. But unfortunately, that's where he's going to go because of that reaction. It's going to be fascinating, though, to see where this all goes. And that's ultimately where it goes to sentencing and what's appropriate when you find out news of whatever nature that was.
Yeah, it's just, I hate these cases just because there's nothing but sadness and tragedy all around it.
Yeah.
And because, again, the people I'm thinking of right now are the sheriff's daughter and the family around the judge.
Sure. Yeah. Lots of questions and not a lot of answers and probably a lot of reconciling who that individual was, if there is something there. And
And, you know, here's my conjecture. We're probably going to hear some creepy things.
Yeah. And that's a lot to take, especially if you're the family and you're not there, then they don't have the opportunity to reconcile that with the person that, you know, allegedly is doing the abuse, if that's part of it. They're just kind of left to wonder. They only saw this one side, but maybe there was this whole other side they didn't know. It's going to leave a lot of unanswered questions at the end of the day. A lot more people suffering than need to be.
That's what it is. This is a case of suffering.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.